Turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 18, Psalm 18, verse 2. We're going to stay in the Psalms, Psalm 18, 2. We're going to do somewhat of a little Bible study tonight, nothing extravagant, just some things that are very practical, some things that are very helpful tonight, and I pray that the Lord will bless you with this. Psalm 18, look at verse 2. The Bible says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Notice all those things. He starts out by saying, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And then he says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." That's an awful lot of provision on the part of the Lord, making him very trustworthy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll spend some time talking about trusting the Lord. Cody, why don't you pray for us tonight? Amen. 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 You know, we understand the trust in the Lord. We understand it because we have trusted the Lord as our Savior. And what we've done is we have entrusted Him, based on His words, with the salvation of our souls and with the security of our souls, trusting that when we die, we are certain because of what He's done for us that we're going to see Him in heaven. And we're settled about that. We're at peace and at rest with the salvation of our souls. But may I tell you something beyond that, practically speaking, many of us today are not fully trusting the Lord. By that I mean practically speaking, in practical application in our lives, there are things that come up that shake our trust and cause us to retreat to ourselves and hold on to some things, and we're not trusting God fully to get us through whatever those things that have a tendency to shake us up or shake our faith. Now, in any trusting relationship, you have to have two things. You have to have a trustworthy person, and you have to have a person who is able to trust. Trusting person and a trustworthy person. When I talk to people and they're having difficulty in their marriage, I will explain this. I said, listen, the problem may not be that your spouse is not trustworthy. The problem may be that you are not a trusting person. Okay? And if that's the case, your spouse may be as trustworthy as he or she can possibly be, and you're still going to have difficulty trusting your spouse because you're not a trusting individual. By the same token, you may be a trusting individual, but your spouse may not be a trustworthy person. Well, let me tell you something. As far as God is concerned, He is trustworthy. Is that not right? Okay, He's trustworthy. So any difficulty we have in practically trusting the Lord in our lives is not the result of His lack of trustworthiness. It is on us. It has to do with our inability to trust Him. And when I say practically speaking, I'm talking about when you get a bill and then you flip, oh man, how am I going to pay this thing by the end of the month? And your first reaction is to scramble. Well, I understand that can be a spooky thing, but if we are really trusting the Lord and you are doing those things that are proper financially, there should be truly no worry that sets in, but it's not like that. We see something with our kids, we see something in our families, we see something in our occupation, we see something at church, we see something, and all of a sudden you're just like, ah! That's the first reaction. And that is an indication that there's something. Now listen, we read Psalm 18, verse 2. There's nothing wrong with the trustworthiness of the Lord. He's a rock, He's a fortress, He's a deliverer, He's strength, He's trust, He's buckler, He's salvation, He's high tower. And so therefore the psalmist said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, I'm not going to have any trouble with this God of mine. He can do all these things. So let's go through and look in the Psalms this evening with that introduction and just find some things in here that are an indication of what will happen to us or to others when we truly are trusting the Lord. This will be like a gauge. This will be like a goal. So let's go backwards and we'll take it in order from here so we're not flipping all through the scripture. Psalm chapter 5. In other words, what we're showing you first may not be the most important thing. They're not structured relative to their importance. They're structured relative to their appearance in the scripture. They're chronological. Psalm chapter 5 and look at verse 11. We'll just take these right in the context. We'll just take the verse where they are. Notice, first of all, in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, let all those that put their trust in thee worry. No, that's not what he said. But let all those that put their trust in thee freak out. Let all those that put their trust in thee cry. Let all those that put their trust in thee scream. Let all those that put their trust in thee go crazy, be anxious. No, what did he say? Rejoice. Have you ever noticed that there are times when something happens that begins to shake you a little bit and you become a poot head? I mean, for lack of a better expression, I think you all understand what I mean there, right? And what's happened is that you are concerned about the particular whatever it is, and it has an emotional, you get the frown on your forehead, the stress in your body, the anxiety, and you are not, the one thing that doesn't characterize you is joy. And let me tell you something. When you cannot rejoice because of circumstances in your life, you're not trusting the Lord. That's a barometer for you. You and I should always be able to trust in the Lord because He is always the cause of rejoicing in our hearts. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you and I should never have occasion to find ourselves scrunched down by the things that are going on in life. That's the indication. I mean, I understand there are things in life that'll do that to us, but it's an indication of a lack of trust in the Lord. It really is. Listen, when you get into a circumstance, you're doing all the other things in life like you're supposed to, and you get into a circumstance when things are starting to cave in around you, that's the time to hold your head up and rejoice, because nobody else in the world can do that but a Christian who's trusting God. That's the truth. There's a good cross-reference on this. You can mark it in your notes. We won't go over there. You get the point. Psalm 28:7. You'll see it again. Listen. There are times you're reading through the Psalms. David, his family's after him. The enemies are after him. The devil's after him. And yet he's rejoicing in the Lord. You know why? Because his trust is in God. Not in circumstances and not in other people. Now look in Psalm 11. We've got several of these to look at. So once we make the point, we'll move on, okay? Psalm 11, verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? All right, when you're trusting the Lord, you won't run. But you know, I'll tell you what, there are things in our lives that will come up that will cause us to want to melt down and move out, for lack of a better expression, to throw in the towel, to give up, to become depressed, to become suicidal without killing yourself, to want to destroy what's already in place. It happens all the time. And listen, when you're really trusting the Lord, you won't run. You'll be firm, you'll be strong, you'll hold. It won't cause you, you know, what do we talk about? Fight or flight, you know that syndrome? All right, well, some people are naturally, Some people naturally quiere combate, we used to say when we were kids. And some people naturally want to run. When you're really trusting the Lord, though that instinct may well up in you because that's your emotional, physiological reaction, you won't move. Listen, when those disciples were threatened with imprisonment, beating, and their lives for preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they went back and they were celebrating that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll guarantee you one thing, they didn't give up on that thing at all. They went right back out there and preached in the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't fold their tent, not a bit. Didn't even think about it. Why? They were trusting God. Look in Psalm 31. Psalm 31 at verse 19. It's okay tonight to rely. We're here. This is family. We rest in this. Let this stuff feed us and go, you know what, preacher, you're absolutely right. I remember when we were doing the Psalm 31, verse 19, we were doing the jail ministry, and Dr. Ruttman came and he was drawing, and we were going from jail to jail. He was in Floresville at the county jail. He got up there and he was drawing men to Christ with all of that, and he was preaching on hypocrites in the church. When he finished up that, we cut the drawing out to leave it there at the jail as a gift to the prisoners or whomever. And I can remember one guy walked up to the table when we cut the picture out, and he walked up to that picture like that, put his hands on his hips, and looked at all those faces of all those different hypocrites and everything that was preached about him, and he pointed at one. He said, "There I am right there. That's me." I'll never forget that. The reason I won't forget it is a lot of times when we're in church and there's preaching, we're like, "That's not me," when it really is. You know what I mean? So I'm telling you tonight, relax. Do you not know that your preacher has trouble with the same thing here that you do? Okay? And when I say we practically don't really trust the Lord, we all go through episodes of this. And tonight, this is to encourage us not to run and not to cave in and get that depressed, wilted, upset, stressed out look on our faces, but to truly rejoice in the Lord and say, you know what, God, I didn't bring these circumstances in on myself, and I'm not going to let these circumstances overwhelm me now. I'm going to rejoice. You see what I mean? And I'm not going to run. How many people do you think, Pam, have gone on deputation with a calling to go and started hitting bumps in the road and said, you know what, we're out of here. I'm going back to the church. It was easier mopping the bathroom floors than it is being out here on deputation, and gave up because they didn't trust God in those circumstances. See how it applies? I mean, you could think, I could go through it until we hit every, you know, like in the carnival when the gophers come up and you got that rubber hammer and you go bam like that. I could stay on these till every one of you got wrapped between the eyes, but I think you know where we are. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Notice the psalmist David, you know what kind of life he had? Saul was trying to kill him. Absalom tried to run him out of town. Four of his boys died. One of them after his own death, Adonijah. And it was the result of a sin he committed. And he committed sin and he had difficulty with all that. And he's sitting there going, man, you're good. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You're going to see the Lord's goodness in spite of your circumstances, if you're trusting him. Years ago, we went to HEB camp out there at Lakey, when I was in Beeville, and the capital city was having their camp. Most of their folks were in their Christian school, so they all the kids could come when everybody else in public school had gone back to school. We had several homeschoolers in the church, so we went up there for camp. We went up there. I remember they had this one guy that was preaching, and he got up in front of the group. Obviously, he'd been there before, and he goes, God is good, and they all answered, God is good. And he said, God is good all the time. And they said, God is good all the time. Well, that's pretty clever. I like that. And afterwards, I was talking to somebody about the preacher. And they said, did you know that he lost his wife last year? She died of cancer. He's a widower. God's good all the time. You can't say that unless you're trusting in God. But you know something? God's goodness doesn't change regardless of our circumstances. He's always good. And when you're trusting Him, you can see that goodness. It's when you're not that you get mad at Him, because you think He made a mistake. I was talking to a lady today. She came by to visit with us here at the church, and I walked her back out to her car. And she said, "You know, I was stressing out over something the other day. I was with my daughter, and she gave me this scenario, and she said, 'Boy, that really shook me.' And I started driving home and said, it was about a mile and a half, and I was fretting with God about it. And God, it's like He said to me," you've had those kind of conversations? You know, He's not really talking to you, but it's like He is. And He says, "Look out there and look at all this land around you." He said, "You know, I made that, and I didn't even have to have your advice." "And those kids you have, you know, I gave you that. And when I created this, I had your name in mind before you were ever born, before I ever made Adam. And when I died on the cross, you were on my heart and mind, and I died for your sins. You know what? You didn't advise me on any of that. I didn't ask your permission, and I didn't get your approval. And I don't need it now. I need your trust." And she put her trust in Him. By the time she got home, the phone rang, and daughter called her and said, "You know what? That terrible circumstance, it's all taken care of." That doesn't normally happen that fast. And I wish it would. But you know what? In spite of it might take some time, listen, God's good. And He doesn't need our advice. He needs our trust. And we don't need to change our opinion of Him in the meantime. I'll tell you something else. Look in Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and look at verse 7. Psalm 36 and look at verse 7. "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings." How close do you have to be to God to get under the shadow of His wings? Isn't it funny how sometimes we get into circumstances that drive us away from God? And when I say that, you say, "Well, nothing's going to drive me away from God. He said, 'I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" No, I'm talking practically speaking here. There are circumstances that drive you away from God. You'll get to worrying about something, and you'll wake up tomorrow morning, and you'll get your Bible out to start your reading, and you can't get past one verse, because all you see is the thing you're worrying about. And you go over it and you say, "Oh, what's the use? I can't read it today. I'm so tied up about this. God, you got to do something." You start praying, and you can't pray about anything else but the problem you're having. You know what that's an indication of? You're not up under the shadow of the wings. You've pulled away. When you're in the shadow of the wings, you could say, "You know something, God? You're so great. Loving kindness, so beautiful. This is not really that big a deal in perspective of all things, but sure would like it if you take care of it. Man, you're good." Boy, I like being close to you. We have a tendency to draw away. Sometimes you'll get fouled up with the things in life, and you know what you'll do? You'll be so stressed about it or so upset about it, you can't come to church. You feel sick. And you say, "You know what, I'm just gonna stay home." It's an indication of a lack of trust, not an indication of the severity of the problem you're facing. Look at Psalm 40, verse 3. Let me tell you what, there's a testimony involved in your trust. Psalm 40, verse 3. When you're trusting in the Lord, you're going to rejoice. You won't run. You'll see the Lord's goodness. You'll draw closer to the Lord. And this, you'll help others to trust Him. Psalm 40, look at verse 3. "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You have a testimony. When you're trusting in the Lord, you have a testimony. And you know what that is? You can sing. You can praise God. Others see it, fear God, and trust in the Lord. You know what happens, though, is as Christians, we fall prey a lot of times to the way the rest of the world goes through the problems of their lives, and so we complain. You've never done that. You've never done that. You maybe once in your life, you go up to somebody, "Man, I'm telling you what, boy, life is rough. It's dealing me some bad blows. I don't know what I'm going to do about all this stuff, and boy, I'm sure upset." Listen, That's what everybody else does. And when they do, okay, you pray, they go get drunk, but, you know, it all starts with the same thing. But listen, when it's trusting God and they see you go through the normal circumstances of life without getting down because you know God has you where you are and He's using you where you are, you walk through that thing and you're like, today's a great day in Jesus. Today's a great day in the Lord. I'm just making this up. I don't know. You know, I'm so happy in Jesus. And they're like, well, your world is caving in. Yeah, but God's not caving in and my happiness is not gone. So how do you do that? Well, I'm trusting in the Lord. You know what? I need some of what you got. And it's a testimony to the world. Others see it. You will help others to trust God when they know you're going through difficult circumstances. And I'm not just talking about lost people. I mean, you come in here to the church and I'm telling you, you're up. People are like, man, things must be going real well. You say, well, not really. My whole thing is caving in, but God hadn't changed. And it's a testimony to him to really trust God and hold on to the Lord. Psalm 44, look at verse 6. Psalm 44, verse 6. I'll tell you something else. When you're really trusting God, look what he says here in Psalm 44, verse 6. I will not trust in my bow. That's like bow and arrow. Neither shall my sword save me. I'll just read these for you. Psalm 118, those are, they say, the middle verses. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know what you won't do when you really trust in God? You won't trust things or people. Because you know why? Things and people let you down. Money cannot buy you out of a problem better than God can get you out of a problem. But there are a lot of people that say, if I just had a little more money, I could solve this problem. Not as well as you could if you had God. And you know, those times when Israel faced its enemies, like with Gideon, like with Jehoshaphat, they went to God, they started praising God, they started praying, and you know what? God just took care of it. We've got to have more trust in the Lord, but what happens is something starts shaking, and the first thing we want to do is call somebody or get involved in some things. Checking resources. That's not a good thing. How do you think that widow who was feeding Elijah with the barrel of meal that was replenishing every day and the cruse of oil was replenishing every day, how do you think it would have worked for her to get on the paper cup string telephone? Remember how we had that when we were kids? Get two tin cans and a string like that? Hello, hello. Get on her little communication system in her little village and tell people around there, man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I got a man living with me right now, and all I have is just enough food for the day. I'm so stressed out, I don't know what to do. Don't we do that sometimes? I'm down to my last meal. Well, she wasn't trusting the barrel of meal, and she wasn't trusting the cruse of oil. She was trusting the God of the barrel and the cruse. And so she never had to go to any of her neighbors and say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. All we got is enough food for one more meal. She only always had enough food for one more meal. That's all she needed. As long as she had God and trust in God, it didn't make any difference. Why? She wasn't trusting the barrel. She wasn't trusting the cruise. She was trusting God. And we need to do the same thing. We need to do this. But boy, I'll tell you what, man, when we see our resources dwindling and we see our things changing, we get nervous. It's an indication we're really not trusting the Lord. All right, Sarah, is this getting close? Well, we're only up to Psalm 45, and you know there's 150 of them in here. No, we are getting close. Look at Psalm 56. But we don't want to rush through it, not when it's ministering something that's helpful to you. Look at Psalm 56. This is famous psalm for trust. Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will get stressed out. No, what time I'm afraid, I will take it out on my kids. What time I'm afraid, I'll stay up all night and try to figure out a solution to the problem. What does it say? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Listen, he's admitting there are times when we get scared about what's happening, but he didn't do anything but turn to God. In verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. All right, listen, two things here. If you trust God, you're not going to fear men. If you really trust him, you're not going to fear him. And I'll tell you what, it's funny how we are, but we'll get into a situation where something becomes a little bit contentious, and you know what happens? You start having a conversation in your head about how the thing's going to turn out. When he says this, I'm going to say that. And when they say this, I'm going to do that. And when they do this, I'm going to do that. And if they do this, I'm going to do this. And I'll tell you, if I have to, I'm going to sue somebody. What? How'd you get there? You know what that is? That's a lack of trust. What's happened is you start having a conversation with the committee in your head, and they're never trustworthy. And they keep you awake at night, and they tell you all kind of things that are lies, and there's no truth in that thing. And all of that is anxiety. And I'm going to tell you what, we already have enough things to stress you out in life. You don't need any more. Now, I'll give you a little added piece here. Okay, life nowadays is already stressful enough as it is. So let me give you a couple little practical things. This is just like not even in the notes. Just add a few things. What you've got to do is you've got to get enough stability in your life already where it makes it easier. Get plenty of sleep at night. Quit staying up late on the computer or the television. Get to bed and get some rest. Really. Another thing is, eat nutritiously. A lot of people... I don't know what you eat, but a lot of people these days are putting bad fuel in the system. You wouldn't put bad fuel in your car and expect it to run right. And yet you put bad fuel in your body and somehow or another you expect it to run right. This is the society that says, I'll junk myself and take a pill and solve the problem. Don't do that. Nourish yourself. Get a little bit of exercise. Get out there and get a little bit of fresh air and go, You know, you say, well, what are we doing that for? The only reason is those things are just little practical things. What they do is they take some of the stress off that's already building around you. Okay? And once you've done all of that, then you'll recognize that the anxiety you're feeling is not the result of a lack of sleep, poor nutrition, or a lack of exercise. It is something going on in your life that is an indication in that area of your life you're not trusting God. Because people who trust God are not anxious. Do you believe that? That's what he said here. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. In God have I put my trust, I'll not be afraid. What man can do unto me? And I'll tell you what, a lot of emotional problems, underlying problem is fear. I know years ago, and this is the psychological side of it, so I'm going to dispel with this quickly. But I had a brother that went in for some counseling, and they had a family time. We went all over there, and they started dealing with the layers of emotions, loneliness and all that other stuff. May I tell you, at the anger and all that stuff, all that anger and all that, that's all way up here, high stuff. Deep down, you know what it was? Fear. Fear results in anxiety. Anxiety is an indication you're not trusting God. Because if you are, and you're where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you just keep on trusting God and let it fall out however it's going to fall out. All right, and then look here in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, this is the second to the last one. Woohoo! Psalm 71. Verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. When you're trusting God, you won't be confused. When you're really trusting God, you won't be confused. I have people that call me on the phone, just like you do. I have people that come by to see me at the office. And I hear that word quite a bit, confusion. They say, you know what, I'm confused about this. And I used to say, well, to myself, I would say, well, God's not the author of confusion. I wonder what's going on here. But when I look at this and he says here in Psalms, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be put to confusion. I realize, you know what the deal is? The confusion is that they're starting to become double-minded. And ultimately, the problem is lack of trust. Let me ask you about tonight. Right here where we are. Are you where you're supposed to be? It's a good place for you to be, right? I'm where I'm supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be. Right here, everything's cool. When you leave here tonight and go to your house and spend some time with your family or whatever you're going to do, and you regroup and get ready to go to bed and get a good night's sleep, that's where you're supposed to be. Absolutely. And then tomorrow when you get up and you go to your work or your school or your whatever you do, is that where you're supposed to be? Then what's the problem? Yeah, well, things aren't working out very well with things at home or whatever. I'm confused about some things. Before you start trying to fix those things in a state of confusion, why don't you run and get as close as you can to God? And once you get there, see how things are looking. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. You can trust God. You can trust God. Let me show you one more thing. Psalm 84, verse 12. Usually what happens when you run and get real close to God and you're confused about a certain situation, you get real close to God and you're not running from Him so that you can stay in that Bible, if you give Him 24 or 48 hours, He can help you sort it out. By the time it's done, you'll have your finger right on the source of that problem. Your trust will be in Him and you won't be, it'll sort out for you. That's what we call it, sorting it out. Psalm 84, look at verse 12. The Bible says, O Lord of hosts, blessed. That's a good word, you know that? Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. When you trust in God, you'll be blessed. And let me tell you something, we need blessings. We were over at the nursing home today, and one song they love to sing, and they all sing it by memory, is Count Your Blessings. They love that. Name them one by one. You know what? You sit around there and start thinking how God has blessed your life. You trust Him and you concentrate on the blessings. Isn't it weird how we are? Let me give you a little illustration here and then we'll close. Here's how we are. Just give me a minute here. I'm making a little illustration. Oh, this is all on the cuff, but it's kind of neat. Did I ever tell you I got a bad shoulder? It's not too bad. Hang on just one sec. You know what I'm doing, right? I'm stacking hymn books, of course. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, be not discouraged. Huh? Thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings. Give me a blessing in your life. Hurry. Your salvation. Name them one by one, Cody. Got a job. Count your blessings. See what Irene. I have a place to live. God hath done. Pam? Count your blessings, Blake. Fishers of men. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God. Boy, that was coming. By one. You could sit there and you could just stack those up. Look at all those things God has done in our lives. And you got one bummer in your life. And you're like, ah! Go over here and count those blessings. Listen, put your trust in the... Give me the verse, Psalm 84:12. What does it say? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Not that. This. When you get all focused on that and not on these, you're not trusting the Lord. You're missing the blessings. Trust Him, because there's a lot more blessings on this side than there are problems on that side. Amen? Father, we're sure thankful today for an opportunity to become acquainted again with a practical need for trusting in You. We're asking You please to help us. Our faith gets so weak sometimes. Father, we pray that You will strengthen us in Your trust and help us to rejoice and stand firm and see Your goodness and draw close to You and help others to trust You. And quit putting our trust on things and not to be anxious and confused, but blessed. And we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.